Nerds and geeks, hold on to your seats because it's about to go down.
Welcome to Nerdorama, the voice of the Nerd Nation. I'm Mo Kelly, he's Tawala Sharp, and together we bring you your daily dose of nerd news, analysis, and conversations with the best and brightest of the nerdverse.
James Bond has returned in what will be Daniel Craig's fifth and final bow as 007 in the movie No Time to Die. Joining me to offer his movie review is friend to the program, Stephen J. Rubin, who is also author of the James Bond Movie Encyclopedia. Stephen J. Rubin, or as I just call him, Steve, welcome back to the show, my friend. How you doing?
Thanks, Mo. I'm just delighted to be here. Really exciting times. We've waited a long time. Actually, it's been 6 years since the last Bond movie. It's just been too long, but we're all really excited. When I say we all, the world of Bond fandom, which is probably numbers probably close to a billion people.
In preparation for our conversation and also the movie, I rewatched the previous four Daniel Craig Bond movies, Casino Royale, Quantum Solace, Skyfall, and Spectre. Did you do anything similar, given that time gap, to prepare for No Time to Die?
I did watch Spectre again. There's definitely a tie-in between Spectre and No Time to Die. The Bond movies are on all the time, and they seem to be streaming perpetually, so it's hard to miss them. And I was tuning into Skyfall. I was tuning into Quantum. And Casino Royale, one of my favorite Bond films in the series. I'm always watching that. It's just rocks. And I got really in the mood. I've been doing a lot of talking about, everybody's asking me what I think, and there's lots to talk about. As I say, I have seen the movie. When you see it, there's a lot of moving parts and there's a lot to chew on. It also may be one of the most emotional Bond films ever.
Is there still this thread which is woven through the first four films of Spectre in the fifth film?
Yes, that's no surprise. He's been in the trailer as we see. Christoph Waltz returns as Ernst Stavro Blofeld. There's definitely a continuity. As we've been talking about, Bond has been fighting all kinds of people, but they all seem to be working for Spectre at the end. So Spectre is definitely front and center. Although I will say for this movie, things are a little bit different.
His foster brother, if you will, the head of Spectre, Blofeld, has had different iterations in the film world, but they changed his backstory for this iteration, the Daniel Craig version. Do you know why that is?
They're all always trying to freshen up the story, adding new elements for emotional value. That was a very controversial move. A lot of people didn't like that idea that the best of all the Bond villains, the one who's been in the most films, turns out to be his foster brother. It's just a little too weird. But I have to say that Christoph Waltz, when he wants to be, can be very creepy. And I think he's probably the creepiest of the Blofelds. And we see some of that in this new film. Personally, I didn't buy it, but, you go with the flow.
If I could go back to our previous conversation, we talked about our favorite Bonds, our favorite James Bond. And for me, it was Sean Connery. And I would say 1A is Daniel Craig. And you were close to that. I mentioned that because I think I can put my finger on why that is specifically now. And I was rewatching Spectre. We have a Bond who is emotionally full. He's complete. There's depth to the character. We know his motivation for why he's angry, why he drinks, why he trusts no one, why he has a problem with women as far as those relationships, and that thread is woven throughout the movies. Do we get a period put on it as far as who James Bond is in this fifth movie?
Oh, you're going to get a lot of things to chew on with this movie. It's a very different type of James Bond movie. I know we've had 6 years to contemplate what the next Bond movie would be, but they pulled out all the stops, and there are things going on in this movie that we've never seen in a James Bond movie. It's a different side of Bond. I say it's a very emotional film because we really peel back a lot of his layers. It was very exciting. The other thing I have to say about No Time to Die, please go see it in a movie theater. This is big screen entertainment with a capital big screen. I mean, basically, You know, you don't watch this movie on your phone or on your iPad. This is, they film part of it with the big IMAX cameras and it's sweeping. I mean, this is mega Bond movie and I may be the biggest Bond movie in size ever. It's certainly most expensive, but the numbers are relatively, I think I can't say enough about this James Bond movie. I think that it's the movie we've been waiting for. And I'll tell you this. They are crazy if they don't suggest that Daniel Craig be nominated for an Oscar for Best Actor this year. He really pours it on. And after five films, he deserves to get a nod in an area they don't often honor people in action movies. Mm-hmm. But he was that good.
We used to be able to get into a room with the enemy. Now they're just floating in the ether.
When her secret finds its way out, it'll be the death of you.
Oh my God. Target enough people.
Remember, people become the weapon.
Who is he?
James, you don't know what this is.
James Bond. License to kill. In love with Madeline Swan. I could be speaking to my own reflection. Only your skills die with your body. And life is all about leaving something behind. Isn't it?
Come on, Bond. Where the hell are you?
Something that I also noticed, and tell me if you agree, the thing that I noticed, the difference between James Bond and Ethan Hunt or John Wick or Jason Bourne, is that we're aware of where James Bond is, at least the Daniel Craig version, emotionally every step of the way. We are in touch with him. We are much more in tune with him. Is that also the case in this movie?
Very much so. I mean, I've been saying it for months that Craig is the human Bond. He's not just a guy in a suit who orders martinis, shaken, not stirred. We peer beneath the surface very much more in this movie than we've ever seen before. You know, I think the success of the James Bond series, which is going on 60 years, is the fact that we're not dealing with a superhero in a cape. We're not just dealing with a guy who fires guns and kills people. This is a character that we can relate to because he's always been a human being, somebody who can get shot and who can get, you know, who
get his ass whooped.
He can get his ass whooped. That's the other thing about Daniel Craig. He hasn't been afraid to wade into the action. I mean, he's broken bones. He's smashed his teeth. He's been blasted around. We used to joke that Roger Moore never got his hair mussed up. But Daniel's the visceral Bond. You feel the impact of those fists. And when Cubby Broccoli and Harry Saltzman basically produced the first James Bond movies, they wanted a guy who was good with his fists. And Daniel has been proven to be that man.
Go about managing your own expectations when you've literally seen every Bond movie and this movie will be judged against every Bond movie preceding it. How do you manage your expectations and not be disappointed?
That's a really good question, Mo. I think that I'm like most people, just a movie fan. I go to the movie theaters to be entertained, to take them to a different place. I've been kind of disappointed lately with movies. They've just gotten too dramatic, too dark, too dreary, too depressing, all the D's. I was so looking forward to this movie because one thing you don't feel when you leave a James Bond movie is depressed or full of angst. You feel, wow, did I go on that journey? And I've been feeling that way since I first saw my first James Bond movie in 1964 Christmas. I saw Goldfinger. And, you know, when you you expect certain things when you go to see a James Bond movie. You expect a ton of good action. You expect beautiful women. You expect some witty dialogue, although that's been kept to somewhat of a minimum now. There's the little banter that we used to see in the Roger Moore films is long gone. You get the music, the big screen entertainment I talked about earlier. So I wait for those things to come step by step, and I kind of check them off and say, okay, we got that. And by the way, this is a long sit. I recommend people to see it earlier in the day. It's 2 hours and 43 minutes, which is 23 minutes longer than the longest James Bond movie, which was Honor Majesty's Secret Service with George Lazenby as Bond. I went over to the ceremony where they gave Daniel Craig a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and I drove in the car with George Lazenby, and he was telling me about his experience playing James Bond, which is a lot of fun. I can't say enough about this film, Mo. It's just a lot of fun.
You mentioned how not only the character has grown and the series has grown, but something I noticed in the Bond girls, using the parlance of back in the day, but the Bond women now have taken a larger role in the storyline. They get their hands dirty. There are times in which they've had to save, on more than one occasion, James Bond. Could we expect more of that?
Oh, yeah. In fact, there are some interesting surprises. It is somewhat no surprise that Lashana Lynch plays 007 in this movie. And in fact, there were all these rumors when she got cast that the new James Bond would be a woman. And of course, that was not reported properly. You know, basically, this story starts out and James Bond has retired from the Secret Service. He's living in Jamaica. M has redesignated 007 to a woman. So she's a primary MI6 agent and very, very good. She matches Bond step for step. So people are going to really find her surprising and delightful. Ana de Armas plays a CI agent named Paloma, who Bond meets in Cuba. She's just a whirling dervish of moves and action. She's terrific. And then we bring back Lea Seydoux, returns to reprise her role as Dr. Madeleine Swann. Yes, Madeleine is once again the love interest of James Bond, which is how we ended Spectre 6 years ago.
Well, I have to ask you this. Has anything changed in your rankings now that you've seen No Time to Die? I know we all may be subject to recency bias, but now that you've seen it, where do you think it might rank, at least within the Daniel Craig pantheon of movies?
Good question. Now, I'm kind of rethinking everything, because that's everybody's always asking my favorite Bond movies. Goldfinger is always in my top five, as is Casino Royale. Skyfall and No Time to Die are right with it right there. I think I would say, after having seen No Time to Die, it's in my top five. There's just so much going on that I think everybody's going to be satisfied. And I'm not going to say there aren't some great surprises in this movie. You know, it's going to surprise, and you know, a lot of people, but enough to, everybody should go out to the cinema right this minute. I mean, this is the movie to see. I mean, we've all been worried about COVID. I understand. I wore a mask in the movie theater the whole 2 hours and 43 minutes, but this is the reason we go to the movies. We go to the big screen to see movies like No Time to Die.
I got to ask just a philosophical question. We all know that James Bond is a fictional character, and we all know that he is an assassin, he's an agent, and we know how the aging agents and assassins are treated, or how they end up in James Bond's world. How do you think James Bond actually ends up 30 years from the time of his character's retirement? Does he live that long?
He's got a lot of enemies. There's no question. He's one character who probably sleeps with that loaded, wall there under his pillow. For James Bond, there is not a lot of rest. You know, he's been a frontline agent. That's a really good question, Mo. I just don't think James Bond is fishing off the Florida coast. I think he's always going to have some drama in his life. But if he can find some solitude somewhere in his own, for lack of a better term, his own fortress of solitude, perhaps it would be good for him. But drama is part of his life.
Very quickly, how can people pick up the James Bond movie encyclopedia just in case they haven't already?
Oh, thank you very much. Well, it's available on Amazon and all your typical book outlets. It is available in stores. If it's not there, they'll order it for you in a hot second. You can certainly come to my various Facebook pages. I have the James Bond Movie Encyclopedia, where you can reach out to me. I also have something called Steve Rubin's Saturday Night at the Movies, which is another Facebook page. And those are the best ways to reach me. I'm also on LinkedIn and Instagram. And I have my own page, Steve Rubin, R-U-B-I-N, on Facebook.
And there you have it. Don't walk, run to go see No Time to Die, the fifth and final Daniel Craig installment as James Bond. Steve, I love my conversations with you, and this has been no different. And you know, we need to have you back on sometime soon so we can talk about The Twilight Zone.
I would love that. Absolutely.
Hey guys, Mo Kelly here. The new Daily Nerdorama podcast is featured on iHeartRadio. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast feed to get your daily dose of nerd news. Also available on iTunes, Spreaker, and all the top podcasting apps. It's free and perfect for everyone in your nerd family.
Nerdorama is produced by Twala Sharp and continues to be a segment on The Mo Kelly Show. Weekends on KFI Los Angeles. Hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Nerdorama News.
Until next time, keep it comic.